Olson, Denver, Colorado, June 9th, 1890. Dear Brother Olson, I received your letter addressed to me while at Boulder. I was glad to hear from you. I cannot write much today, although anxious to communicate much. I must wait until I am stronger. We left Oakland Sunday, June 1st, for Battle Creek by the way of Boulder, Colorado, desirous to see Mary once more before she sleeps in death. I received a letter which stated her condition. I knew that condition meant speedy dissolution. Sarah and I ventured to take the journey, although I was weak. Brother Edwin Jones and his wife Sarah, May Walling and I, and two passengers besides us, were all that were in the car. We were favored in being the only ones. We had feared oppressive heat and dust, but we had not heat and but little dust. The first 2 days I was so exhausted it was a question if I could go through to the first stopping point, Boulder. But the third day I was able to sit up a very little. The faint, exhausted condition left me, and I grew somewhat stronger. We were delayed 12 hours because of a burnt bridge. This delay necessitated other delays which put us 24 hours back, and when we arrived at La Junta, we were obliged to wait 5 hours for the train from Kansas to Denver. We heard that the cars were crowded and that every berth was taken, but Sarah was on hand the moment the train stopped and pleaded for a berth for me. There was just one berth, and she made sure of that. But it was 12 o'clock at night before I could lie down in my berth, and I didn't sleep until 1 o'clock. The rest of the party had no chance to lie down in the passenger car, and they had a hard night of it. We arrived at Boulder Thursday morning about 9 o'clock. Friends were waiting for us. Mary was, we found, very low, but not suffering much pain. We met the suffering child and were glad to see her once more, but saw the stamp of death was upon her. We had that day a desire to see the sick ones and bear to them fruit. Cherries, which were picked 1 week before in Healdsburg from the trees of my own planting on the farm now owned by Brother Leininger. The fruit was fresh and good. We called on your brother, left the fruit and visited a little, which seemed to do him much good. He could barely taste the fruit. We see that he is quite low, but he trusts in the Lord and has only to tell how good the Lord has been to them. This is a glad note. If sounded more, it would be better for everyone. I called on Brother Madison and had a few minutes' chat with him and left some cherries. His lung difficulties seem to be much better. He has bought a small house, which we think is a wise thing for him to do. We called on Brother Wilbur Whitney, and he is improving, but quite slowly. He has a little bit of a shanty to live in and a tent pitched, but he cannot manage to live much in the tent, for there are strong winds which would make it perilous for him. We left our present of the beautiful cherries and visited a short time, but I was getting very weary and had to return to W.C. White's tarrying place. He has put up a little office of rough boards because there was no room in the house for him to work. Thursday night, we had a very precious season of prayer. The Lord came into our midst and blessed us. I felt that special strength was imparted to me, and Mary was much blessed. She had an attack of severe bowel pain, and this continued a part of Tuesday. Sabbath, we had a precious talk with her, and a season of prayer especially for her. She was again greatly blessed, and I was blessed in a special manner. The burden of our petition was that the Lord Jesus would remove from her mind every mist and cloud of darkness and give her his peace. Our prayers were answered. Mary rejoiced in the Lord and was happy and perfectly resigned to live or to die up to the time I left this morning at 7 o'clock. After this exercise, I spoke a short time to the church in Boulder on Sabbath afternoon. Sunday, I called on your brother again. Brother Edwin Jones accompanied me. We had a season of prayer for the sick,
and the blessing of the Lord came to your brother. I tried to lay out clearly before him the strength he might obtain by simply trusting in God and not going back to hunt up his mistakes and defections of the past. This, you know, is natural to do when the soul is letting loose its grasp of this life and looking into the eternal world. If anyone ever has a distinct view of his own imperfections, it is at this point in his experience. But the Lord blessed the word spoken, and he said he could now better understand that his business was to look and to live. Numbers 21, verse 8. To take the robe woven by Christ himself in the heavenly loom, and rejoice in the worthiness and righteousness of Christ. He wept, and he rejoiced.
The case of your brother, I fear, is beyond human skill. God alone can heal him. I feel sad to see so many of our workers going down. Oh, that the work would be taken up by a larger number who will consecrate soul, body, and spirit to the Lord's vineyard so that a few will not work themselves to death because so many are idling. Edwin has done his work earnestly, heartily, devotedly, and he will receive a crown of righteousness that fadeth not away in that day when the Lord makes up his jewels. But may the prayer ascend to heaven that God will raise up laborers, for we need them so much in every branch of the work. Here, right here in Colorado, 100 workers are not enough to go out into the byways and broadways to proclaim the message of truth. Oh, cannot we pray in faith for a mighty movement in this direction? Converted men and women to take hold of the work and carry it forward and upward. I must speak forth the praises of God that he has wrought for me again in his great mercy. About 2 weeks since, while in discouragement at St. Helena, the Lord Jesus appeared to me in a distinct form, and his words were, "Satan is the destroyer, but I am your restorer. Pain and affliction will try your faith, but be not discouraged. I am your restorer." Immediately I felt peace and happiness. Joy filled my whole being. My feet seemed placed on solid rock. I was no longer discouraged. I told my friends I should recover, but not at once. Another trial was before me. The whole of that day I was full of joy and light. I told them I would speak the next day in the retreat. But lo, another phase of affliction came. My kidneys were causing me great suffering. I had such acute rheumatism that I could not stand or walk, but I determined to speak. I could not get into a carriage, but we went, one on one side of me, another on the other side of me, sustaining me, and thus I entered the chapel. Many were present. The wealthy class of patients were my hearers. I was helped onto the stand. I could not kneel, neither could I stand but a few moments, but I sat in my chair and spoke to the people, and the Lord helped me in a remarkable manner while I dwelt upon the great love of God in giving us Jesus. The women, rich and proud, sought an introduction and expressed their joy at the words that I had spoken. One woman said, "I will never forget these words. I see things now in a clearer light. Oh, try to help me more if you can, that the mist and fog which you mentioned, which have hidden Christ from my view, may be dispelled. I want to know how to bring up my children, that they may have Jesus as their Savior." I visited this lady 2 days after and talked with her, found her very intelligent, conscientious. I prayed with her, and she was relieved and blessed. Other patients begged a few minutes' conversation with me, but I was not strong enough to do more. Friday, Dr. Burke was at the retreat with his wife, and I spoke in the evening to the helpers and all the workers. I was not able to stand, but it was a most solemn occasion.
Dr. Burke sanctioned all that I said and gave some items in his experience with good effect. I then spoke with much freedom, and the grace of Christ was imparted to us. On the Sabbath, oh, how thankful I was that I could stand even a short time and speak to people who, although unbelievers, had ears to hear and hearts to feel, as was evidenced by the tears that were shed. While some of those who profess the truth are hardened with unbelief and do not know the time of their visitation, there are those who have not had this great light, who have not rejected light and truth, whose hearts respond to the messages God gives me to bear to believers and unbelievers. Well, I will not write more now. We take the fast train for Chicago this evening. I leave Sarah behind because Mary was solicitous for her to stay while she lived. Addie and May Walling go with me. With much love to Sister Olson.